The following message was given by Shelby Murphy on Sunday, June 28th at Redemption Hill Church. For more information about the church, visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.
We love stories because they help us attach meaning and value to things, and that's exactly what we find in Luke 19. It's a familiar story, but every word matters. It's the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. So let me read this for us, then I will pray for our time together. So starting here at verse 1, you can follow along. It'll be on the screen, but you can follow along in your Bibles. This is God's word. He, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today. Thank you that you haven't left us to wonder who you are or whether you even care about us. You have made yourself known through your Son, Jesus, and you have preserved his words and works for us in this book. Give us more than information today. Give us illumination. Open our eyes to see Jesus clearly today. Open our minds to understand your truth. Open our hearts to actually receive it with faith and joy. Meet each of us where we're at today. Remind us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, which is us, which was us. May we leave today having seen Jesus as more beautiful, more gracious, and more worthy of our worship and trust than when we walked in. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are certain historical questions that almost everyone asks about Jesus. Did he really exist? Did he really perform miracles? Did the events recorded in these gospels actually happen? All important questions. But there are other questions that run even deeper than those historical questions. Does God really care about people like me? And if he does, would knowing him actually change anything in my life right now? Those are the questions that Luke is answering for us in this passage this morning. Luke 19 records one of the most famous encounters in Jesus' ministry, his meeting with Zacchaeus. And in this story, the answer to both questions is a resounding yes. Yes, Jesus cares about individual people. In fact, he seeks them out. And yes, his grace changes them. Jesus meets people where they are, but he loves them too much to leave them there, which is exactly what happens to Zacchaeus. So let's look at this story today under those two headings. First, Jesus meets us right where we are. And then second, Jesus doesn't leave us where we are. So the first part of our story, Jesus meets us right where we are. What you have leading up to this story is really two independent histories. Two men proceeding through life, doing their own thing, Jesus going about his business, Zacchaeus going about his business. And in this story, these two histories converge. These two paths come together. And as the story begins, the initial focus is on Zacchaeus. Verse 1, he, again Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And this is where it gets interesting. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. But there's a crowd there. And he's kind of short. Quick sidebar, I hope over our time in Luke, you've noticed how efficient Luke is with his words. In 1.5 verses, he tells us Zacchaeus is rich, powerful, and short. This poor guy gets saved and has to endure 20 centuries of short jokes. So Zacchaeus has to take extra measures just to catch a glimpse of Jesus. But before we get there, Jesus gives us a few details that tell us actually a lot about this man. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. And that's significant because of where this story takes place. Jericho sat on a major commercial route leading to Jerusalem, making it an ideal place for tax collection. Merchants, pilgrims, and traders constantly passed through. Tax booths would have lined the road collecting fees and tariffs from the constant stream of travelers. It's a little like the tolls you pay on the Po'wike or the downtown expressway. Except Zacchaeus wasn't the guy sitting in the booth. He was a chief tax collector. He was one of the men collecting from the collectors, taking his share and then passing the remainder on to Rome. In other words, he wasn't just participating in the system. He was actually one of the leaders. He was near the top of Jericho's tax collecting enterprise. And as soon as Luke tells us this, we know two things. One, Zacchaeus was almost certainly universally hated. And two, Zacchaeus was extremely wealthy. He was rich. I mean, the text tells us this very plainly. He had enriched himself through a system many Jews viewed as corrupt and exploitative. Financially, he had everything many people wanted. But socially, and more important, spiritually, he had become an outcast. Because Luke isn't simply giving us biographical information here. He's making a theological point. And we know that because of something that Luke has just shared with us in the previous chapter, back in chapter 18. If you got your Bibles there, scan back up to verse 18 in the previous chapter with me. This is Jesus' interaction with a rich ruler. I'll read there starting in verse 18. And a ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad. Why? For he was extremely rich. Jesus seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." As Raymond reminded us a few weeks ago, Jesus is not teaching that wealth itself is sinful here. He's teaching that wealth is spiritually dangerous because it can quietly capture our hearts. Money offers security, comfort, significance, and independence. It can persuade us that we don't really need God. That's why Jesus warns us about it so strongly. The issue isn't money itself. The issue is that money makes promises it can't keep. It can't satisfy the deepest needs of our soul, so it can become one of the greatest spiritual obstacles that we face. And then almost immediately after sharing that story, Luke introduces us to the camel, Zacchaeus. It's almost as if Luke is saying, speaking of rich people, let me tell you about another one. So when we hear Zacchaeus is rich here, we should be asking ourselves, can this man possibly be saved? Because Zacchaeus is everything Jesus just warned us about. Even placing this story right after encountering the blind beggar just outside Jericho speaks volumes. One poor, one rich, yet both desperately need Jesus. And Luke wants us to feel all of these connections that we've been hearing about the past few weeks. Before Zacchaeus ever says a word, Luke has given us facts and context that shape our expectation of this encounter. Zacchaeus appears to be exactly the kind of person least likely to enter the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus is in a dangerous place spiritually. But there's one more piece of information about Zacchaeus that we see here that is really important. I tried to emphasize it some whenever I was reading it. Look again there at verse 3, back in chapter 19. "And he was seeking to see who Jesus was." So it's obvious that he had heard about Jesus. News about Jesus had spread all over Israel, but there is more than just a common interest in Jesus going on here. You see, Jesus has a reputation that would have been of particular interest to Zacchaeus. In fact, Luke has made it a part of his gospel to actually emphasize Jesus' reputation. Back in chapter 5, Jesus actually has a similar encounter with a tax collector named Levi, including a shared meal, along with grumbling from the crowd and religious leaders. So it's almost a parallel of this story. And even more recently, here in chapter 15, where Jesus is talking about the lost sheep and the lost coin, Luke says this. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Zacchaeus would have known about that, this reputation of Jesus. He would have heard that Jesus actually wasn't put off by his type, that Jesus seemed to actually care about guys like him. And I can easily imagine that Zacchaeus might be wondering if there is any connection between the emptiness and the longing that he feels in his soul that all of his money could not satisfy. And this Jesus who he's heard about and who had stirred his curiosity and who's now coming to his town. I mean, at the very least, clearly something is going on in Zacchaeus's heart and in his desire to find out more about Jesus. He didn't hesitate to do something weird, to do something out of the ordinary, a little out of character from what we might expect from a chief tax collector. Verse 3. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Wealthy, powerful men in the ancient world didn't run, much less climb trees. So again, whatever is happening in Zacchaeus' heart has become more important than looking respectable. Whatever is happening inside Zacchaeus has overcome his fear of looking ridiculous, which, by the way, is often one of the first signs that God is actually doing something in someone's life. And it's at this point where two histories converge. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. You see those words, the place? Those words are actually communicating something very precise. You could translate that phrase, the spot. When Jesus came to the spot, it conveys this idea of a transcendent sight, a place where destiny brings you to. So I don't want us to miss what's happening here. Because if you've noticed, up until this verse, Luke has told us that Zacchaeus was the one seeking Jesus. That's what verse 3 tells us. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. Zacchaeus runs ahead. Zacchaeus climbs the tree. Zacchaeus is searching. But then we arrive at verse 5, and the spotlight shifts. Because when Jesus comes to the spot, he doesn't stop and ask, "Who are you?" He doesn't ask the crowd, anyone know who this guy in the tree is? He walks to the tree. He looks up, not just speaking to him, but the Son of God himself sees him. Not just a tax collector, not just a sinner, but Jesus walks to that tree, looks up, and calls him by name, Zacchaeus, which means Jesus knew exactly who he was before Zacchaeus ever laid eyes on him. And this is our M. Night Shyamalan moment right here. This is the surprise twist in these verses. Zacchaeus isn't the primary seeker in this story. Jesus is. Think about how differently that this story could have ended. Zacchaeus climbs a tree. Jesus walks by. And later Zacchaeus tells his friends, "I saw Jesus today." End of story. But that's not what happened. Everything changed because Jesus stopped. Everything changed because Jesus looked up and called him by name. Jesus then invites himself over. The decisive action in this story isn't Zacchaeus seeking Jesus, it's Jesus seeking Zacchaeus. And the same is true for every Christian in this room. We sometimes say, "I found Jesus," in our testimonies. But the deeper biblical reality is that Jesus found us. Long before we were interested in him, he was moving toward us. Long before we knew his name, he knew ours. Luke tells us in verse 3 that Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was, but now we discover who was really doing the seeking. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. He knew exactly where to find him and had come to Jericho to meet him at the foot of that tree. Look again at what Jesus says there in verse 5. "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." This word "must" is just brimming with meaning. But before we go there, I want us to pause for a moment and realize just how astonishing this is. Jesus doesn't ask Zacchaeus if he can come over to his house. He doesn't ask him what days and times he has available so they can grab coffee or lunch. No, Jesus calls him by name and announces his intention. I must stay at your house today. Jesus has come for this man. He intends to save him. And Zacchaeus has no idea how much his life is about to change. But this word must helps illuminate this passage for us. The Greek word here is actually pronounced didai. This word implies a predetermined priority in God's plan of redemption. It's used frequently in the Gospels, and it speaks of a divine plan, a divine purpose, a divine necessity. There is a God-ordained mustness about this. This is the same word Jesus uses when he said back in chapter 9, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. This is a divine necessity. So when Jesus says, I must stay at your house today, he's not talking about physical necessity. He doesn't have to go because he's hungry or tired or needs a place to stay. He doesn't have to go because Zacchaeus somehow earned a visit. He must go because God intends to save Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wasn't an interruption on the way to something more important. Zacchaeus was exactly why Jesus stopped. The crowd saw a tax collector hiding in a tree. Jesus saw a sinner that he had come to rescue. And so he says, I must stay at your house today. Why? Because Jesus had come to seek and to save the lost. He had come to seek and to save Zacchaeus. And what is Zacchaeus' response? Verse 6. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Notice the contrast in Zacchaeus' response compared to the rich ruler who responded with sadness just a few verses above. And when he saw it, or when they saw it, talking about the crowd or the religious leaders present, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner, to which we are all meant to reply, exactly. Jesus met Zacchaeus right where he was at. He meets us where we're at. Jesus didn't require him to get his life in order before he would be with him. He doesn't ask us either. Jesus comes to us as we are, where we are. He is the friend of sinners. In fact, spoiler alert, salvation is for sinners. This was good news for Zacchaeus then, and it's still good news for us today. But this news gets even better. Our second point, Jesus doesn't leave us where we are, having met us right where we are. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Two things to notice here. The change from his initial description back in verse 2. Also, what does he call Jesus now? Lord. So we hear at least a verbal profession of a radical change of heart and behavior. Something has happened in Zacchaeus. The very thing that Zacchaeus has spent his life, his energy, his imagination, accumulating the very thing that he looked to for meaning and some manner of happiness in his life, He's now purposely letting go of that and using it the way that God intended money to be used. The compulsive drive to accumulate and hoard money was gone. So the point is actually pretty on the nose. It's pretty hard to miss. When a person comes to Jesus, it changes their relationship to money. The thing that once mastered Zacchaeus no longer masters him. The greed that had defined his life has lost its grip because his heart has been changed. What Jesus said at the end of chapter 18 is now being displayed before our eyes. After that rich ruler walked away, Jesus declared, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And Zacchaeus is now living proof of that. But Jesus doesn't leave the crowd to draw their own conclusions. He tells them exactly what has happened. Verse 9. And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house." That's what happened. Now, let's not make a mistake here. This generosity of Zacchaeus is not the grounds of his salvation. You don't get saved by your good works. No, it's the evidence of his salvation. This man has been completely changed. And what a change it is. What a transformation. Jesus didn't leave Zacchaeus where he was in that dangerous spiritual state. Even though Jesus meets us where we are, he's not going to carelessly leave us where we are. He makes us new. He makes us different. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Today, salvation has come to this house. And don't miss this last phrase, since he also is a son of Abraham. Remember, the largely Jewish crowd there saw Zacchaeus as an outsider. Jesus saw him as someone who belonged among God's covenant people. No sinner is beyond the reach of God's saving grace. Jesus had come to seek Zacchaeus and to rescue him, and this isn't some isolated case or something out of the norm for Jesus. This is actually representative of what Jesus does. This is what he's like with us. He says it as clear as can be there in verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus has come to do this very kind of thing in people's lives. What you see here with Zacchaeus is just one case. He will go on to do it for millions more. Even me, even you. Which makes verse 7 all the more sobering. And when they saw this, when they heard Jesus call him by name and then go into his house, go into a sinner's house, they grumbled. They complained. The crowd assumes holiness means avoiding sinners. Jesus demonstrates that holiness actually moves toward sinners in order to save them. Our natural religious instinct is often stay away from people like that. But Jesus actually says, "I think I'm going to go to his house." Because this is what Jesus came to do. He's come to seek and to save the lost. And remember, Jericho isn't Jesus' destination. As verse 1 already told us, he's just passing through. Jerusalem is actually his destination. Jesus is seeking Zacchaeus on his way to die for Zacchaeus. The one who called Zacchaeus down from a tree would soon be lifted up on a tree himself. So let me just ask you this morning, where do you see yourself in the story? Has Jesus sought you? Has Jesus saved you? Is he sitting around your table? Or are you on the outside looking in? Are you grumbling, complaining? Because Jesus wants to meet us right where we are today. He seeks us out no matter where we are. He's not afraid. He's not reluctant. At the same time, Jesus loves us so much that he doesn't want to leave us where we are. As soon as he comes to meet us, he starts his renovation project in our lives. He is the true friend of sinners. Let me end here and just leave you with one final thought. When Zacchaeus woke up that morning, he probably thought it was going to be an ordinary day. Maybe collect some taxes, maybe hear the latest gossip from Jerusalem, maybe climb a tree and get a glimpse of this famous teacher everyone was talking about. Just an ordinary day. What he didn't know was that God had already circled that day on his calendar. It was the day Jesus would stop beneath his tree, look up to him, and call him by name. It was the day salvation would come to his house. Zacchaeus did not know that that day was coming. And the truth is, there are certain days in our lives that God has appointed long before we ever arrive at them. Days that seem ordinary to us, but are anything but ordinary in his plan. As you heard earlier, I was reminded of this past week. I received a call at 5:13 a.m. Monday morning that my mom had just passed away after a long struggle with dementia. For months, we've watched her body slowly weaken. About 2 weeks ago, she stopped eating and drinking. And Monday morning, the Lord determined that her earthly journey was finished. Scripture says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. We don't know when these appointed days will arrive. Zacchaeus didn't know. My mom didn't know. Neither do I, neither do you. But here's what Zacchaeus teaches us today. When Jesus passes by, don't assume that you're going to have another opportunity. Jesus never came back to Jericho. That was Zacchaeus' day. And if Christ is calling your name today, please don't stay in that tree. Because this is the great hope of this story. Jesus still knows people by name. He still seeks and saves the lost. He still calls sinners to himself. He still meets people right where they are, and he still changes those he saves. For Zacchaeus, that day became the day of salvation. That was his moment. His divinely appointed encounter with the Savior. Perhaps that's why you're here today. Perhaps before you ever set foot in this building, God in his providence placed an X on the floor right where you're sitting. And right now is a moment when Jesus Christ, who came to seek and save the lost, is calling your name. Not because you have your life together, not because you've somehow earned his attention, but because he delights to show mercy. Because he loves us too much to leave us where we are. Maybe today is the day that he meets you. Maybe today is the day he saves you. Maybe today is the day he begins to change you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful picture of grace this morning. Thank you that you are not a God who waits for lost people to find their way home, but a God who comes looking for them. Before we ever sought you, you sought us. Before we ever knew your name, you knew ours. Thank you for Jesus today, the Son of Man who came to seek and to save the lost. Thank you that the one who called Zacchaeus down from a tree was willing to be lifted up on a tree for me, so that sinners like me could be forgiven, could be reconciled and ultimately brought home to you. So for those in here who know your Son Jesus, who know Christ, I ask that you would deepen our gratitude for his pursuing grace. Fill us with worship. Fill us with humility and joy and wonder as we remember that our salvation is ultimately the story of you finding us. And for those who may be far from you today, would today be their day of salvation? Open blind eyes, soften hard hearts, draw them to Jesus. Help them to hear his voice and to respond with faith and joy. Father, thank you that you meet us where we are today. Love us too much to leave us there. I ask that you continue your transforming work in us until the day that we see Christ Jesus face to face. I ask this in his strong and saving name.
You've been listening to a message by Shelby Murphy, given at Redemption Hill Church in Richmond, Virginia. For more information on the church and to hear other messages, please visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.